Please open up. We're going to read two passages this morning. The text that you have in your leaflet is only the text. The passage we read is Psalm 1. So that'll be easy to find, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's Psalm 1. We also turn to the New Testament, first book, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. And we read two verses from that, Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. Fairly well-known text. And after that, Fred will come up to share with us that passage. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Thanks, Fred.
Our text starts with a wonderful invitation. Enter through the narrow gate. You can almost see Jesus sitting there and making a broad gesture to the crowd. Welcome everyone into the kingdom of God. Feel free to enter its gate. But his invitation also contains something strange. Though Jesus gives here a broad invitation, he warns at the same time that the entrance is narrow and hard to find. So his invitation sounds therefore just as strange as if we would put a banner outside the wall in our church saying, "Welcome to our boring worship service." Now, our worship service might be boring, but that is if you don't quite understand the gospel, because the gospel is an exciting message, but that's only experienced by those who have accepted it, of course. Anyway, Jesus explains this strange invitation with drawing a picture of two gates leading to two roads. One gate is wide. It's easy to find. And the wide gate gives entrance to a broad road, very comfortable and attractive. The only negative thing about this road is that it leads to destruction. There's another gate as well. That's a small gate. Not easy to find. Hard to enter. And this small gate, on top of that, gives access to a narrow road, a winding trail that demands perseverance for those who want to follow it. But the good thing about this path is that it leads, as Jesus says, to life. Now, some of you may know that old picture of the broad and narrow road that was produced some 120 years ago. It was popular in its time, also in Reformed families. And if you've never seen the picture, I'll draw it in words for you. Hopefully you see it. Well, on the top of the picture, you find a title in a nice banner, "The Broad and Narrow Road." And then the left half of the picture represents the broad road. A beautiful gate adorned with flowers and a big sign, "Welcome," invites you to enter. And the road behind that wide gate is spacious and comfortable. The sun is shining and people walk around in nice clothes and or sit at a table with a glass of beer and enjoying themselves. And along this spacious road you see beautiful buildings with different signboards. Cinema, theatre, dancing hall, pub. In short, this part of the picture shows a lot of happy people who can make a choice out of a wide variety of entertainment. And then in the distance, on that same picture, you see the end of the broad road. There's a big oven there. Flames jump out of it, and little devils run around to spear frightened people on their three-pronged forks. Now we have a look at the right half of the picture. Here the sun doesn't shine. There's a gloomy atmosphere. And a very small gate that you really have to bend to get through gives entrance to a somber garden with a narrow path. Here and there you perceive a lonely, black-clad figure who climbs the dark slope of the narrow path. Some of the walkers carry heavy crosses on their neck. And at the end of this dark road, we see a sign with the text, "Well done, faithful servant, go into the feast of your Lord." Now, I won't give too many comments on this picture, but one thing is pretty clear. At that time, this picture had an enormous influence on the thinking of people. And perhaps it was also produced by that thinking of people. Because this is their conclusion about what Jesus meant here in the Sermon on the Mount with his words about the wide and the narrow road. But the question is this true? Is this what Jesus was talking about? Well, I don't believe a word of it. The problem I have is this. Christian faith is here presented in the picture completely as an outward lifestyle. And the broad way is what people used to call the world. And all forms of entertainment that the world has to offer. It's a lot of fun. But for a Christian, all that was taboo. No concert, no cinema, and no pub. Because they have to walk a different path. A path of don't touch, don't taste, don't enjoy. A very somber, mirthless road. See, he's talking about that? As I said, no way. This picture has become totally obsolete. And it's not just because we live in a different time, but it's become obsolete because it was typically a man-made picture without any understanding of what the gospel is really all about. But the Sermon on the Mount is 1900 years older than that picture. Does not become obsolete. Because Jesus speaks the living word of God. And therefore, what he has to say is just as relevant today as it was in his own time. So now, to get an understanding of what Jesus means, let me remind you of what Jesus tries to do, and we've seen it many times in this whole Sermon on the Mount. Yeah? And it's this. He always draws the attention of the listeners away from what people think and do to what God thinks. It's certainly not about what people nowadays call walking on the straight and narrow. That is still the biggest misunderstanding around outside the church and unfortunately also inside the church. That people think that being a Christian is about staying on the straight and narrow, following rules and laws. And those who will follow them consistently will ultimately make it to heaven. Now that the world thinks that, I can't do much about, apart from explaining to people whomever gives me a chance. But that many people in the church have this same mindset about it, that is a tragedy. Because if you think that obeying rules or trying to live according to God's law will entitle you to heaven, you make the biggest mistake of your life. For that is a message without Jesus, without his cross, without his resurrection, and without his Holy Spirit. If you would be able to make it to heaven by your own obedience, what you're doing is you try to bypass the only Savior that God has given to bring people to heaven. Don't ever try it. The Apostle Paul perfectly understood all this because he'd been there and done that. And he warns Timothy, for instance, against quarreling about application of the law. He says in 1 Timothy, he says, they want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently confirm. For these people who love the law and who love to have moralistic arguments, this is right and that is wrong. And don't do this and don't do that. But that's okay to do. And things like that. Paul said, stay away from that kind of arguments. Because God is not so much interested in your public life, but he first looks behind the screens and he looks for motives. What's in your heart? He is interested in the question whether you are a Christian, a true Christian or not. Whether you want to follow Jesus. And that's not decided by your lifestyle, but by your heart. Sure, a Christian lifestyle is good and necessary. But if it's not motivated by a true and warm love for the Lord Jesus, it means nothing. Remember Jesus saying in the sermon, your Father in heaven sees what's done in secret. See, the real decisions are taken in the inner room where only God has access. Now let's return once more to our nice picture. Can you now see what's wrong with it? It is way too superficial. It reduces Christian life to the question whether you partake of certain forms of entertainment or not. And that is only legalism. And has nothing to do with Christian life. Actually, this is exactly what Jesus is fighting in the whole Sermon on the Mount. Because this is the way the Jews thought. For them it was no question at all who walked on the broad road and who were on the narrow road. In their mind, of course, the pagans who do not know the law, they follow the broad road. And also the crowd, just uneducated people, the non-Pharisees, so to speak. They were the crowd that doesn't know the law. Well, they are also on this broad road. But we, serious Jews, and especially when we are Pharisees or Sadducees, then we have the law and we stick to it. So, we are on our way to life, of course. But it was all a fatal misunderstanding. For to follow a number of rules and assume that God will be happy with that, that is the broad road that Jesus speaks about. And that road suits uncommitted people. If you go regularly to church, if you now and then show up at a Bible study or a meeting, who can blame you? No one can admonish you for that. But friends, that doesn't mean anything. It can be just conveniently walking on the broad road. You're part of the religious mob, but you are misleading yourself. You're living as a hypocrite. See, Jesus is not talking about the world over there, over against those who are in church. As if we go on the straight and narrow and the world on the broad one. It's not as simple as that. Jesus speaks here to God's own people. To the Jews. To people to whom religion is very important. And yet among these people there is this invisible division. It's the same division as Psalm 1 talks about. There are the broad road travelers and the narrow path walkers. See, you can be very busy with the text of the law without real love for the God of the law. And many go that way. And the fact that so many do it makes it even more dangerous. A whole congregation can walk the broad road and end in destruction. So be careful, congregation. Don't just do what everybody does. Don't just follow the majority. Think for yourself. Read the Bible for yourself. And think again of the theme of the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus places you straight in front of God himself, and to him you have to give account. If you're called to give account of your life, say, but everybody did the same. I thought it would be okay. That's not an excuse that God accepts. And God said, no, but I ask you, what have you done with my word? What have you done with the invitation of Jesus? Have you followed him? Have you given your heart to him? Have you committed your life to him? That's the kind of question he will ask him. And if you have done all the right things, so to speak, all the right Christian things, but you cannot answer that you've given your life to Christ, committed to follow him, so that you were born again, then you're out. A tragedy. So, examine yourself always, especially with your regards to what you do in secret where nobody looks, because that's where the real decisions are made. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Now we have a bit of a problem here. This word small and narrow, are they actually suitable to describe the Christian life? Is real faith not something liberating? Finally free. God has released my bonds. He has relieved me from a burden. Isn't that what you experience when you become a Christian? Liberation, redemption, freedom. But how do these things go together with small and narrow? But friends, here is no contradiction. Just try to understand what Jesus is saying. He described the road, the broad road, as a road of convenience. And somehow it's attractive to do what everybody does. And deep down we are all inclined to do the same, to act like the Jews of Jesus' time. We all like to rest on the cushion of our own works. We are Christians, we are evangelical, we are committed to church. And it's so convenient to draw some security from those things. But if you do, you better think again. You have your security in the wrong place, because your only security is Christ himself. Follow him. Be his disciple. That is the narrow road. Forget about yourself and entrust yourself completely to the grace of God alone. And understand that it's grace that your sins have been forgiven. It's grace that you become humble. It's grace that you start to fight your own sins and start to walk the path of true obedience. And this guide is small indeed, congregation. And the road of living by grace alone is very narrow indeed. It's only a few who find it. It's a serious warning to us all. So don't think too easily or we found it already. We are in the church, so we must be on the narrow road. You might deceive yourself. So keep asking and seeking and knocking until you're absolutely sure that you have found the entrance into the kingdom. I finish off with an encouragement. Jesus warns that it's hard to find the small gate. Now, does it mean then that following the narrow path is always difficult and tough? Mind you, our text doesn't say that. I can promise you, once you have found the gate, the small gate, and entered through it, it is a real joy to follow the path that comes after that. Sometimes tough, but still there's a wonderful joy inside you because you follow Jesus and you're on your way to life. And what can be more enjoyable and comforting than that? Let's make a comparison with similar to the image that Jesus uses here. The broad way is like a highway, a very comfortable and convenient way to travel, isn't it? And lots of people make use of the highway, and you are there in the shortest periods of time. It's always busy there, and mass tourism makes use of these comfortable highways. But now think of someone who chooses a different road, a hiker. He follows the narrow trail through the wilderness. And he constantly has to seek. Am I following the right path? Am I still on track? Is this a comfortable way of spending your holiday? A comfortable way of traveling? Of course not. It's hard. You have to be tough, and it can be very tiresome. But now you ask this hiker about that, how he feels. And he experiences it totally different. He enjoys it immensely. For he knows that the nicest places in the world can only be visited on foot. And he constantly discovers new things. And he knows excitements that a traveler on the highway knows nothing about. Even the fact that he has to work up a bit of sweat now and then is a delight to him. Well, that's the position of those who found the gate of the kingdom of heaven, knocked on its door and entered. They found the narrow path. And proceeding on this road yields its own joy. Have you never experienced the joy of saying no in a situation that you were tempted? You had an opportunity to steal. Nobody would know. And you did not. You followed the narrow path, and you were thankful in hindsight for your free conscience. Or you were inclined to transgress God's laws for sexual purity, but you escaped a trying temptation. Saying no gives you more pleasure than falling for a temptation, right or wrong. Well, this is what I mean. Following the narrow path is definitely not a somber or a lonesome adventure. You walk in the sunshine of God's grace, and the Holy Spirit guides you through it. Focus on Jesus and trust the Spirit. That's the way to follow the narrow path. Now, on top of that, is nothing as exciting and nothing as good as sharing the joy of walking on the narrow path with each other. Say it to each other, what a privilege we have in knowing a God who loves us. What a joy to have a God who has forgiven our sins and who has accepted us in Jesus Christ. And how exciting to be on our way to eternal life. Let it never happen that outsiders think of us. Life of Christians must be absolutely boring. They all look so somber and down. Don't forget, friends, God made us new people. And that means for us it is a love and a delight to live according to the will of God under the guidance of His Spirit. Only a few find this way, says Jesus. If you have found it, share it with each other. Share it with outsiders, because there will be joy in heaven about every person who repents and entrusts himself to the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Walk the narrow path which leads to life, and you'll certainly experience the blessing of Psalm 1. Amen.